You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, it's the morning after, the night before. Happy New Year. To everybody listening, to everybody joining us live on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Smash that like button for us real quick. Subscribe to the channel. We appreciate y'all being with us bright and early on what is a pretty rough morning if you're a Miami Dolphin fan. And that doesn't have anything to do with how your New Year's Eve might have gone, because I imagine many Miami Dolphin fans would have been having an extra glass of champagne or two just to help numb the pain, because the Miami Dolphins, with an opportunity to make a huge statement, and stop me if you've heard this before, with an opportunity to make a huge statement, the Miami Dolphins go on the road to the home of a top contender and get embarrassed. 56-19. And it was more than just the final score, because not only did they lose the game, they have now confirmed to have lost Bradley Chubb to an ACL tear, out for the season and presumably most of next season, and potentially have also lost Xavien Howard to a significant injury that is going to cost him probably the rest of the season. It's hard to say at this point, but when he's getting carted off the field with no shoe on, and there's 1 week left of the regular season and then at least one playoff game, it seems hard to imagine that his season isn't going to be over. But the Dolphins were once again embarrassed with an opportunity to make a statement on the road. And, you know, people come after us, as we've said time and time again on this show, Brain. They come after us in September and October and November, and they say, you got to change the name of your show because they're not the same old Dolphins. And then every time they have the opportunity in a big spot to prove they're not the same old Dolphins, they go out and they do a same old Dolphins thing like they just did. Now, this isn't the end of the story, so it's not confirmed that the 2023 Miami Dolphins are the same old Dolphins. It's not confirmed because they've got a couple of opportunities to change the narrative, but it's going to be a lot harder to do it now. And because of the way certain things have played out over the course of this season, Brain, it made this loss that much more impactful. And so here we are, Brain. 1 week left of the regular season, and the Miami Dolphins, who once had a three-game lead over the Buffalo Bills for the AFC East, that lead is now down to a game, and it's going to come down to a winner-take-all Sunday night football affair in Week 18 to determine whether the Dolphins go into the playoffs as the 2 seed and host a playoff game, or if they go into the playoffs as the 6 seed and travel to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs.
Yeah, and it's disappointing. It's as disappointing as it is predictable, unfortunately, because, you know, we've been here so many times. And the thing about it that hurts so much is that we did not expect them to win this game. I mean, you picked them to win, but I think as a fan base in general, it was hard to see the Dolphins going to Baltimore and winning this football game. But you thought that this would be a game, that they would at the very least you know, this would be a close one, that they battled and that they really announced themselves like, hey, we are on the same level as a legitimate Super Bowl contending team. And it looked like it for maybe about a quarter and a half, maybe about almost two quarters. And then the sequence of events that happens at the end of the first half happens. And then, you know, you're still, it's a two score game at halftime. And then you come out and you just, where you would expect a championship caliber team to come out with fight, they come out and they get punched in the mouth again to start the second half. And then they finally get things back to a two-score game. And as soon as they do, the defense, you know, craps all over themselves and allows Baltimore to go right down the field and really seal the deal. And it just didn't stop. The fact that the defense just had zero answers, I know that they were dealing with some injuries, but It's inexcusable for the defense to be that bad. And it's just, it's a reminder that you're holding up a victory against a Dallas Cowboys team, a home game against a Dallas Cowboys team that every single fan in the league that's not a Cowboys fan will tell you that that team is a fraud. And we probably lose that game if they don't fumble a handoff at the goal line early in the game. And that's what we're holding up as the proof that we're a legitimate team. And then we follow it up by getting our asses handed to us by a legitimate team. It's just, it's sobering, it's disappointing. And it would be unbelievable if it wasn't so believable, because we've seen it happen so many times.
Yep, it's the same thing year in and year out. And it's so we find ourselves in this spot where here we are, we've got another game, right? And the optimists will tell you, let's turn the page, because next Sunday night you have an opportunity to win the division at home. And if you had looked at the season, right? And I mean, you could go back to the beginning of the season. And I think all of us, a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us probably looked at this schedule at the beginning of the year. And you said, it's going to come down to week 18 at home against Buffalo, right? And so if you want to step back and take a look at it from that perspective, of course, everybody, every Dolphin fan probably would have bit your hand off if you would have told them at the beginning of the season that at the final game of the season against Buffalo, if you won that game, you were going to be the number two seed in the AFC. Every single person would have taken it, right? Every Dolphin fan would have taken it at the beginning of the season. But unfortunately, that's context-free. Because when you look at it in the context of what has happened and what has played out, it's hard to look at that game against Buffalo and think, okay, no problem, we'll handle it. Because what happened in this game against Baltimore, it was more than just the fact that the Dolphins went in and got their butts kicked, right? It was more than that. And there's no shame in that, by the way. There's no shame in going into Baltimore and losing to the Ravens team. We said that's probably the best team in the league, right? There's no shame in losing that game. And I was saying it beforehand. If you go in and you lose that game and you have a hard-fought game, it is what it is. You wash your hands, you move on. But it was the fact that the defense looked like it was not prepared. And obviously, yes, you lose Xavier Howard on the first drive, but let's be honest, with Xavier Howard in there on the first drive, it's not like it looked much better.
Well, to be fair, I think I do think he got hurt. I think the play that he got hurt was probably that first play.
Well, Rick, either way, you play the whole game and the communication just not there, non-existent. The defense was embarrassed, and you can't blame that performance overall on Xavier Howard getting hurt on the first play of the game. Like, you, whatever. It was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing defensive effort by this team, by this defense who was shaping up to be a top five defense in the league, right? So you look at that, and that's one thing that is a huge gut punch, is that what you thought was maybe a top five defense in the league, and a defense that had played like a top five defense in the league, perhaps was exposed as, I don't want to use the word fraudulent, but oh boy, against a top tier offense, they sure looked bad. And then with the game well out of reach, you've got all of your starting defensive players on the field, and Bradley Chubb suffers a torn ACL, out for the year. So now you're looking at this team, and remember, the goal for this team wasn't let's win the AFC East. Winning the AFC East was part of what was on the agenda for this team, but the goal is win the Super Bowl. Get to the Super Bowl. That's the kind of goals that we're talking about for this team. When you spend the money, when you spend the draft capital that you and all of the money and everything that went into the Bradley Chubb trade, that went into the Tyreek Hill trade, when you have shown that this team is all in to win this season or next season. The goal is not let's just get to the playoffs. That was last year's goal. We did that. We weren't terribly convincing in how we did it, but we did it, right? So the goal is to go all the way. And because of the injuries suffered earlier in the season, Jalen Phillips injured in garbage time, Bradley Chubb now injured in garbage time, and Xavien Howard suffering that injury in the first, it seems really difficult to imagine that this Dolphins offense, which has been proven that now it's not unstoppable. This is not an unstoppable unit. Teams have shown that they can slow this unit down. And so what you were relying on as a Dolphin fan in thinking that this team had the potential to make a deep run was that they also had the ability to play top defense and to slow down those other elite teams. And thus far, they have shown that that is not necessarily something that they're going to be able to do. And now after suffering these injuries, it's really difficult to look at this team and go, yeah, I can see them making a deep run. You know, and that's not to say that they can't go out and beat Buffalo next week and win the division. I still think they've got a decent shot of doing that because Buffalo has not really looked that great, although Buffalo just seems to provide a uniquely bad matchup problem for us. And now we've got the issue of, we thought, well, next time we play Buffalo, we'll have both Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard, so Kader Kohou won't be responsible for guarding Stephon Diggs all day. How naive we were. But Brain, this team has taken a hit, and I don't know how they can recover in terms of making that ultimate run to the Super Bowl. I think it's certainly possible that they could beat Buffalo, and if they beat Buffalo on Sunday and the chips fall a certain way, they can actually eliminate Buffalo from the postseason altogether. And then you're looking at a home playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers or Jacksonville Jaguars. And even if Trevor Lawrence is healthy, that's a matchup I feel pretty good about as a Dolphin fan. But either way, Brain, this team's overall outlook for this season took a huge hit in this loss. And it wasn't just the loss that did it. It was, and we can get into the things that contributed to the loss before the injuries, but those injuries, like, there's no way around it. I don't know how this team recovers from those injuries enough to make the kind of run that this team is hoping to make.
Yeah, well, what I would say is, obviously, you know, horrible performance by the defense yesterday, and with the injuries now to Chubb and Xavien Howard, even with, you know, expecting to get Baker back and Holland, you know, who didn't look to be 100% in this game, presumably getting healthier. And we don't know if Jalen Ramsey was 100%, but presumably, you know, he didn't have any setbacks in this game. Even with those guys getting healthier, there's just so many losses that you can take on the defense. When you lose Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb off of this defense, the defense is going to take a step back. It's not going to play at a very high level, and it would be foolish to expect them to do so. So what you kind of put your hope in is the guys that you're getting back on offense, and you're hoping that you'll get Jalen Waddle back, and you'll get Robert Hunt back, and you'll get Raheem Mostert back, and that the offense will play at a very high level and that it will be good enough to offset, you know, any drop in play from the defense. But it's just, you know, we've seen this offense. It's a good offense. It's a very good offense. It's one of the best offenses in the league, but we've still see it's not an historically good offense like we believe that it could be at the start of the season. Now, injuries to the offensive line maybe have played a part in that, but at the end of the day, they are what they are at this point. Like, Connor Williams is not going to come back out there. They're still going to have, you know, whether it's Robert Jones or Liam Eichenberg playing, you know, at left. Well, I guess you're going to have Liam Eichenberg at center, and then you're going to have either Lester Cotton or Robert Jones playing at guard, even with Robert Hunt playing on the opposite guard. It's not going to be a fully healthy offensive line. And I just think there's limitations to this offense, even with it being a very good offense. And when you play good defenses, they're not going to just roll out of the bed and put up 30 points. And if the defense is going to drop off the way that it has, or that it looked like they did, at least in this game, and then you have the injuries that they have, you know, you might need your offense to score 30 points. And I just think the combination of the two and just the general, you know, softness of this team. Let's not beat around the bush. This team has been criticized for being soft, and they've proven it every step of the way. I'm sorry, but beating the Cowboys at home by 2 points does not prove that you're not soft. Having a chance to take the number one seed in the conference with a week left to go, going to the road against that team and getting beat by 5 touchdowns, that says a whole lot more to me than a 2-point home victory against the Cowboys. When you juxtapose that against getting beat by 2 touchdowns against the Eagles, getting beat by 4 touchdowns against the Bills earlier this season, like, these are their opportunities that they've had to prove that they are legit, and they can't just show up at home, but they're going to show up on the road against Super Bowl caliber teams. And they haven't just gotten beaten. They've gotten manhandled. You know, it was pretty early in the season. I think it was after the Buffalo game, or maybe it was after the Philadelphia game, where I don't know if it was you that coined the term, or you took the term from somebody else, and you said, you know, if the Dolphins can't prove to win one of these games, they may very well be elite pretenders. Mm. And right now, they look exactly like that. They look like elite pretenders. When they go up against the dregs of the league, they look great. But they're just not. What I think there is, I think there's maybe a couple. I think Baltimore right now is the best team at football. I don't think anybody can debate that. Obviously, these things are week to week and things evolve, and with injuries and the way teams play and peak at certain points. But I think that there's a few teams. I think probably Baltimore, probably San Francisco. Philadelphia seems like they are falling apart. So I don't know that they're in that conversation necessarily. But I think there's like a couple of teams that are legitimate Super Bowl contending teams. And then I think there's this group of about 6 or 7 teams that are just second tier teams that are good, but they're just not quite on that same level. And I think the Dolphins are in that level. I think they're on the same level as the Cowboys, as the Lions, probably as the Chiefs this year. I just think that's where this team is.
Yeah, and you'd love to say that they're not in that place and that they are a better team. But again, every time they've had the opportunity to prove it, they not only have they failed, but they've kind of failed miserably. You know, I mean, looking back, you can say, you know, oh, they beat themselves against Philadelphia. They beat themselves against Kansas City. You you're beating yourselves. You can't do that. You know, and it's one of those things where we get flack from people because after beating some of the lesser teams that we beat, you know, after wins against Carolina, after wins against the Giants, we might find these little things in those performances that we're upset about or that we're not satisfied with, and this little mistake and this thing, and they're all going to multiply. And then you see those same kinds of mistakes happen in these games with the higher stakes, and they're the things that cost your team the win. And it's like, well, you can't be surprised because it's been there the whole time. It's just not going to cost you against lesser opponents the same way that it's going to against the best opponents. So, Brian, let's dive into a little bit about this game, and like, because we're sort of talking big picture stuff. So let's get into some of the not the minutiae, because we're not going to go play by play in this game, but we can talk about some of the bigger issues coming out of it. But before we do that, again, a quick reminder to everybody: go ahead and smash that like button. We appreciate everybody who's joining us here. Happy New Year! Smash that like button if you will. That's the thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel if you haven't already. And make sure you're following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm at AmplifiedToRock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can also download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere that you get your podcasts. We appreciate it very much. And make sure you are visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And we're going to keep covering the team for at least the next 2 weeks. And then hopefully that's not when the offseason starts. But as long as the offseason goes on, we're going to be covering you there as well. So make sure you're joining us over there at DolphinsTalk.com. We appreciate it very much. Brian, we talked a little bit about the defense, which is, I think, the first place to go. And it just seems like this team was not prepared on defense. So let's kind of shift that conversation a little bit, unless you want to get into detail about this defense and why you think this defense was so unprepared.
I mean, I couldn't tell you why the defense was unprepared. What I can tell you is as much as there are these built-in excuses for the secondary and Duke Riley covering, you know, Justice Hill out of the backfield and, you know, not being able to communicate on a rub route, on a wheel route, I would say I was more concerned about the interior of this defensive line, which is where this team's bread is buttered. I thought Zach Sealer played a tremendous game, but Christian Wilkins, for a guy who's had a tremendous season and, you know, wants to get paid and will get paid, he really came up small in a big game. Not the only one, obviously, when you lose by 35 points or 37 points or whatever it was, you're not going to get singled out. You know, you need your big time players to play big and big time games. And, unfortunately, you know, Christian Wilkins was one of many big time players that did not show up for this game.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing from that perspective. Before we go any further, Brian, we got to do this segment because we got a lot of people watching live and we got some answers on X. So let's do this segment. Let's get it out of the way. Won't spend a ton of time on it, but it's time to check our pulse.
Can we check your pulse if you're not fired up?
That's right. It's time once again for a Dolphins Talk Pulse Check. This is where we ask you for one word to describe how you are feeling following the Dolphins' loss to the Baltimore Ravens. So go ahead and let us know in the comments one word to describe how you're feeling about the Dolphins right now. We'll share some of them here on the show. We got a bunch on Twitter. I'm not going to go through all of them because, I mean, it's not going to be a surprise to you to hear what some of these reactions are. long story short, the vibes are bad right now. Glenn Rushworth resigned. Rich Greard, William V. Windshield, Nick, demoralized. Mark Gomez, disappointed. Robert Snyder, garbage. Shohei to New York Yankees, hopeless. Got to be really hopeless for that particular person. Connor, hopeful. Connor is holding out hope. Graham Morrison is hoodwinked. Mr. Underscore C is familiar. Kevin Shields, passed. SMD, why? Bass Lloyd, one, says atrocious. Scott Bergman, damaged. Elizabeth Larkin, disappointed. IMC Finns, deja vu. MRI, familiar. Bob Whitmer, fatigued. Irish Buckeye Finn fan, disappointed. Francis Hawthorne, deflated. Thomas is terrified. Mike McGregor is annoyed. Texas Finn man, typical. That boy Dot, drained. Stacy is resigned. Don Marzullo is resigned. Stake in it is heartbroken. Dan is disgusted. Don't call me Bob is disappointed. Nandito is very disappointed. You get it. Brain, let's see what some of the comments that we got here in the chat. Let's see. We've got Chris Wernett says, uneasy, typical, sad, bamboozled, says Evan Posner. Zonka is still holding up hope. Determined. Bill Cannon is disgusted. King Dolphin, wow. Chad is sinking. Doc B, unsurprised. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, and we've got a lot more. They're going to keep going. But Brain, how is your pulse feeling right now?
So the very first word that you read happened to, you know, get my word. And that is resigned. I am resigned that this team just isn't where we need it to be, where we hoped it would be. That isn't to say that the season is over, and it's not to say that this team can't still accomplish some goals that they set out to accomplish. But I think it's time to change the expectation, given what we've seen. I think that the expectation has been and should have been, given the way that this team was built, the draft capital that was used and traded away, the expectation should have been to win a Super Bowl, at the very least get to a Super Bowl, because that's what you don't go all in to not win a Super Bowl. But right now, with what this team put out there this Sunday, with big picture what this team has shown all season, and with the injuries now mounting up, it's just very, very difficult to see this team getting to that lofty of a goal. Now, that said, I could still see this team finding a way to put together a big game at home against Buffalo to beat the Bills. And if they do that, they'll win the division, and then they'll host a team that, you know, is a, you know, a bottom tier, a fringe playoff team, wild card team that they'll have at home, and they should win that game. And then they'll get to host another, you know, playoff game against another team. And, you know, I don't know that this team has it in them to win more than one playoff game this year. Frankly, I don't know that they have it in them to even win one playoff game this year. But at this point, I think that's the goal. And I'm just resigned to the fact that that's probably the ceiling for this team right now. Is the ceiling for this team is to probably make a deep run. And look, if I'm wrong, awesome. I would love to be wrong, and I'd love for this team to shockingly turn things around, for things to fall in their way, and for them to put together a miraculous run that ends in joy. But at this point, I'm done expecting it. I'm done thinking that it's a realistic expectation, because I can't even say that I really was expecting it, because I picked them to go 11-6 to start the season. I did pick them to win the division, and I thought that this would be a year that they would win a playoff game. But at this point, I think that's what the hope is, and anything else I think is probably gravy at this point. Yep. It sucks, but that's where I'm at.
Yep, I agree. I'm right there with you. My word is same, because this is the same. They're the same. We finally thought, you know, it really appeared that this team was going to be different. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't think I would feel this way if the Dolphins had, you know, lost 26-24. If they had played a close game, if they had fought this team and not shown the same typical errors and sloppiness and all of that. If they had just gone out there and lost that game the way that the Cowboys lost us, I don't know that I would feel this way. Because there's no shame in going to the home of one of the best teams in the league, a team that has shown that they're on an elite level, a team with the best record in the NFL, and there's no shame in going out there and losing to that team. But to lose it in the way that they did, in that same old Dolphins kind of way, it's just like, yeah, they're the same. And again, I'm at that place where if this team wants me to believe that they're not the same old Dolphins, then they're going to need to go and prove it. And that doesn't mean, and again, to clarify for those who, you know, because there are this is where after games like this, you get Dolphin fan police who want to tell you that you're not a real fan if you're disappointed in this team. And you're not a real fan if you're eternally optimistic. If you are eternally optimistic about this team, God bless you. But you don't get to sit there and tell somebody who has been a fan of this team for 40 years, in some cases longer than that, that has watched this team be inept in December for decade after decade, you don't get to stand there and tell that fan should be eternally optimistic, because we've seen this show before. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to turn around next Sunday night and be cheering for the team to lose somehow. No. Every step of the way, all I want is for this team to not be the same old Dolphins. But they are the same old Dolphins until they're not. See the pinned tweet on Twitter. Go to our profile and watch that video and listen to what we said. And that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago, I think, where that clip is from this very show. It's not that this is something that we want, but this is what it is. And until they can prove otherwise, this is how I feel about them. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be cheering for them to go out there and beat the Buffalo Bills and prove me wrong, and then to finally win their first playoff game since the Clinton administration. And the good news is they're going to have that opportunity regardless. And some people are saying they actually feel better about the Dolphins' chances on the road in Kansas City against this lousy Chiefs team. I don't know that I share those thoughts, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But, you know, that's how I feel. I feel like they're the same right now. And let's get into some of the reasons why I feel that way right now, Breen. And part of it is, I'm going to start with the head coach. And I don't know. First of all, obviously, it was malpractice having all of his starters in the game. We wanted to finish strong, whatever it was that he was saying afterwards. And I wish I had a time machine. I could go back in time. That's nonsense. The game is over. It's not competitive. Take your starters out of the game. You know what is. You know what lies ahead of you. You know at that point that you have an AFC East title game coming up next week, and then after that, at least a playoff game. This is not a team that is 9-7 scrapping to get into the playoffs. This is a team that has got an AFC East championship game next week and at least one playoff game already booked, confirmed, coming up. Take your starters out of the game. You've already lost your starting cornerback. Get these guys. It's your job to protect the players from themselves. And after you have spent all season talking about, well, this player wants to get in there and play, but we're going to protect him from himself. And we're going to make sure that we're putting the player's best interest first. And we're going to hold them out. You did that time after time after time all season. But now in a game where you're down by 4 touchdowns, you're leaving these guys in. And some people will say, oh, well, it's hindsight. You can blah, 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 blah. You literally tweeted, Brain. You literally tweeted minutes before it happened, I don't want to see any starters on the field. And a moment later, we hear Bradley Chubb screaming in pain. And obviously, we all hope for the best for Bradley Chubb. It's brutal for a guy who has dealt with injuries like he has to be dealing with this. It is confirmed now as a torn ACL, which means his season is over, and likely most of next season is over for him as well. It's a brutal, brutal situation. But that is a mistake. Here's another mistake. rushing to get a playoff before the 2-minute warning at the end of the first half. I cannot for the life of me understand why the Dolphins were in a hurry there. They're down by 8 points with the ball driving at the 2-minute warning. This is in a lot of ways, I think, where this game was lost. It was in this stretch of time, maybe not this specific play call. But with 2 minutes to go, you're down by 8 points and you're driving the ball and you're hurrying to get a play. You're on the Raven side of the field. Your job at that point is to spend those final 2 minutes ensuring that the last play of the half is you scoring points. Whether it's you're scoring a touchdown with, you know, under a minute to go, or you're kicking a field goal as time expires, your goal at that point is to take up as much of that 2 minutes as possible. Why are we rushing to get a playoff? And then in that process, your quarterback, who is so good at manipulating defenders by moving his eyes, is so locked in and getting a playoff in that fast moment that he doesn't look anybody off. He stares down his receiver and throws an interception. And granted, it was a great play by the defender, but still, that is another boneheaded coaching decision. I'm not going to kill Mike McDaniel for going for two in the second half after the 8-Chan touchdown when the Dolphins could have cut the lead from 16 to 14 with the 2-point conversion. I'm not going to kill the going for two there because it makes sense. You go for two there because then that defines what you need to do next. That's fine. I don't care about that. But 3 weeks ago on Hard Knocks, we saw Mike McDaniel sort of ripping himself a new one for calling an end zone corner fade at the goal line. And he said, this is a terrible play call. Since that moment, we've seen him make that call twice. Once in the game and now on this 2-point try. And I don't understand why. It's a terrible call. Like, you've got ways to get 2 yards that are better than that. Do it. And then obviously leaving players on the field to get hurt. I mean, this was just, again, another example of Mike McDaniel getting out on his skis and just messing it up. I don't know, Brain. I'm not thrilled with Mike McDaniel here. And now he's got an opportunity to learn from this, but it seems like that's all he does is, I mean, and we do need to remember that this is only his second year as a head coach, but man, he's certainly learning the hard way.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things that we talked about when they hired Mike McDaniel, and we've talked about it now for 2 seasons, is that he could be the right coach. He could be the best coach that they could hire. But if you're trying to build this team to win a Super Bowl right away, and you're building it in a relatively tight window, is he going to be ready to be a Super Bowl caliber coach when the talent on this team is ready to be a Super Bowl talented team? I think that from a talent perspective, obviously injuries suck, but from a talent perspective, when this team is healthy, there's no doubt this team is as good as any team in the league. It really is. There's really very, you're splitting hairs, but this team is as good as anybody in the league from a talent perspective. And, I just think there's so many things like the nuances, the clock management stuff, the being overly aggressive at inopportune times, you know, the wasting of timeouts that we've seen. Questionable.
Are you going to kill him for the challenge? I didn't think it was a bad challenge.
First off, I don't think it was a bad challenge because I think it's such a key play in the game, and you're in the first half of a game. Like, I don't give a damn if we're going to burn a timeout for that.
Yeah, and you don't have time.
Secondly, this whole idea that people are saying, oh, this was like an open and shut case and the ball never moved. For one, the ball did move. And two, the evidence that the ball moved, aside from the visual evidence, is the fact that this was not ruled call confirmed. It was ruled call stands.
Right.
Which means that there was not visual evidence to determine one way or another, but there wasn't enough visual evidence to overturn it, which means it was close, which means it was absolutely worth challenging. So I'm definitely not going to kill him for that. I just think at the end of the day, it's more than that. And I think it's just generally, you know, all of the points that you made, and the biggest one is really leaving the starters out there when this game was decided, because like you said, I tweeted out like minutes before it happened and nobody wants to see it. I would rather, you know, say that was dumb that they put him out there, but we got away with it, than beat my chest about, oh, I tweeted this out and I turned out to be right. I don't give a damn. I wish I would have been wrong. But you had, at this point in the game, there were less than 4 minutes left and you're down by 30 points and the Ravens have the ball inside your own 15, 10, wherever the ball is. And it's like, what are you playing for? You're playing for pride at that point. I'm sorry, but you had 56 minutes to play for pride. The time to play for pride was over. Get these guys off the field. If they want to be pissed off, good. Be pissed off that you got pulled out of the game with 4 minutes left because you played like crap for 56 minutes.
Yep.
And use it for an entire week to get prepared for your big game. But now Bradley Chubb is out and they're going to feel that one. They're going to feel it the rest of this season and they're going to feel it into next season. And that's a decision that's going to haunt Mike McDaniel. And you hope that he's going to learn from that and learn from other things. I won't say that Mike McDaniel hasn't like learned lessons from year one to year two. I think he's clearly, you know, been better at getting the plays in on time. And I think the operation has run a lot more smoothly this year. But there's just nuances to the game that the Dolphins, for whatever reason, they're just not on top. They look, like I said after the Philadelphia game, and like I said before this game on our show on Friday night, they look a little bit green. And it's not because these players haven't been in the league, but it's like the adage in this league that the great teams, to really achieve that goal to win a Super Bowl, you got to go through some stuff. Well, this team really, they scratched the surface of going through some stuff last year. And now they're going through the stuff this year. Unfortunately, yep. You know, this is our time, I think, to really take our lumps and let this be a learning experience. And granted, we've got, like I said, we got more to play for. The season's not over, but it's just, this team's not ready. Yeah. They weren't ready this Sunday, and I think it's a microcosm of who they are as a team as a whole this season. Very good team, just not ready to take it to that next level.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and again, they've got opportunities to turn that narrative around, but it's hard to feel confident that they're going to. The other thing I guess that we need to talk about in this game, and again, we can talk about failure on special teams. Special teams was bad, giving up long kick returns. It was just, I mean, Braxton Berrios making the decision to that fair catch that he had where the ball was going out of bounds. Like, why? What are we doing here? Like, let it out of bounds. It's a kickoff. We're going to get the ball on the 40-yard line. He catches it. Fair catch. Dumb. Just mental errors on all sides of the ball. But let's talk about the quarterback, Brian, because this is something that everybody kind of wants to talk about. And I don't know that I am as down on the quarterback as some people are. I certainly don't think he had a great game, but I don't think he had a horrible game. But I do think that there, and we can get into your, I know you've got a specific take on this, but I do want to say that the trend of Tua in big games on the road in crunch time late in the season, right? Those December road games. It is a continuing theme that he tends to, I'm not going to say that he necessarily comes up small in those games, but what I will say is that he typically does not come up big. And while that might sound like a kind of lukewarm take on it, I think that is what it is in terms of being a criticism and a fair criticism of the quarterback, is to say that when he has the opportunity to come up big, to not take that opportunity is something that does have to fall on his shoulders, right? Not to say that he is necessarily, because again, I don't think he had a terrible game. He did throw a couple of bad interceptions. He had a bad mental lapse where he stared down a player and threw the ball right to him. And then when the Dolphins finally forced a turnover in the second half and had an opportunity to do something with it, he immediately gave the ball back. And that was bad. But like, I don't think it was a horrendous game by Tua. I mean, you take a look at, and again, I'm not absolving him of blame in this game, but like, you know, if Tyreek Hill catches that touchdown pass that was directly in his hands. And by the way, talk about a guy who has an elite player who was in the MVP conversation, who has dropped key passes in three big games this season. Tyreek Hill is that guy. I mean, and it's not like he dropped, you know, exceedingly difficult plays and he just wasn't able to make a big play. This was as much of a layup touchdown catch as there is for a wide receiver of his caliber, and to drop it, unforgivable. And then Chase Claypool drops a touchdown pass as well. I'm not absolving the quarterback of blame, but you know, those things didn't help him either in this game. But this was just, I don't know, man. Tua doesn't come up big in these spots, and he hasn't. And I think those are the things that are going to come into the conversation when, as we go into this offseason, when we start having conversations about what his next contract is going to look like. Because I think at this point, he hasn't done enough for the Dolphins to say, we're moving on from you. But he has also not done enough to say that he should be paid a top three, top five quarterback contract in the NFL, at least in my opinion. But Brian, what is your take on Tua's performance in this game and in general?
All right. So first of all, let's stick with just this game first. Tua did not have a great game. I don't think he had a terrible game. I think the interception at the end of the first half was a bad interception at a bad time. And that really hurt. The interception that he threw in the third quarter could have been really bad. It was a really bad pass, and it came on the heels of just having created a turnover. But it really didn't cost them anything, because the Dolphins' defense somehow made their, I think it was like their only stop of the game after that turnover. And the Dolphins went down and they scored a touchdown on the very next drive to a bounce back and led them down the field for a touchdown to again make this a two-score game. Tua was the reason that the Dolphins were in this game in the second half. He was not getting help from his receivers. But at the same time, I'm also not going to be the one that says, well, Tua threw two touchdowns and it would have been four touchdowns if Tyreek Hill holds on to one and Chase Claypool holds on to another. Because the Chase Claypool one, the Dolphins ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive anyway. Tua ends up throwing it. He should have had three touchdowns. He absolutely should have had three touchdowns. But Tua was not the reason that they lost this football game. If the defense does their job, even remotely well, they're probably not down two scores at the half in spite of the interception that Tua throws. And they're certainly not, you know, giving up the amount of points that they gave up in this game. Like, you can survive like Tua threw two touchdowns and two interceptions. People are equating that, you know, when I say that the Dolphins look like frauds and they're, you know, they're like, oh, well, did you say the same thing about the 49ers? And what I'll say is, you know, the 49ers lost to the Ravens by two touchdowns in spite of turning the ball over five times. Dolphins lost the turnover margin in this game. They were like minus one and they lost by 37 points. You're not losing that because of the quarterback, especially when the quarterback doesn't even play that poorly. He throws one bad interception. That's not the reason why you lost 37 points by 37 points. Now, going big picture in this, Tua has gotten better every single year. Objectively and subjectively. The knock on him at first, oh, he's just dinking and dunking. He can't pick up an offense. And then it was like, okay, now he's in a real offense, but he's a little bit inconsistent down the field. Oh, now he's going down the field and he's great, but now he can't stay healthy. Now he's healthy the entire season. He's doing everything that you asked of him. And now it's, oh, he can't beat a good team on the road. Or no, even before that, he can't play good on the road in December. He goes and has a phenomenal performance a couple weeks ago against Washington. Oh, but Washington's not a good team, so it doesn't count. The goalposts continue to move for Tua. And the guy that I think about when I compare it, granted, completely different quarterbacks, but all you have to do is look on the other side of the field on that game on Sunday. Lamar Jackson won an MVP in what, his second year, third year in the league?
2019.
Yeah, I think it was his second year in the league. Second or third year in the league. And team fell short in the playoffs. He did not play well in the playoffs. And the argument was, well, Lamar just, he can't win in big games. He can't beat, he shrinks in the playoffs, or he can't win from the pocket. Players get better. They mentally process the game better. They learn from their mistakes. Tua has continued to show you that progress and is currently a top 10 quarterback in this league. And if you don't think he's a top 10 quarterback in this league, I want you to go and name 10 quarterbacks that are better. And when you get to about 6 or 7 and you start throwing in some guys that you think are better than Tua, I want you to start looking at the negatives of their game. And what you're going to find is that you're splitting hairs. So whether you think Tua is like the 6th best quarterback, the 12th best quarterback, whatever, you want to argue that he's not on the level of Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, or even right now Lamar Jackson, fine. That's fine. But the dude is a franchise quarterback. And then this whole idea about whether or not he's done enough to get paid, he's going to get paid. Like, he's not playing next season on a 1 year. The Dolphins are in cap hell as it is. They're going to extend him, because if they don't extend him, they're going to need to cut $23 million of salary just to get to the salary cap, let alone fill out the rest of the roster. So they're going to extend him. And the fact that he's under contract means that, frankly, Tua has all the leverage in that contract negotiation. So he's going to get paid. Like, Justin Herbert just got paid. Joe Burrow got paid. You can say what you want about, you know, is Tua better than those guys? Is he slightly worse than those guys? But he's in the realm. He's on the tier with those guys. And so he's going to get paid. Now, the way they structure the contract, guaranteed money, given injuries, given lack of playoff success, or, you know, lack of December success, those are all things that can be talked about another day. And frankly, shouldn't really be talked about at this point, because if he goes out and he balls out against Buffalo, it's really a moot point. You really look stupid at this point if you say Tua can't win in big games in December or January on the road. Well, I guess he's not going to prove anything on the road. But if he goes out and he beats the Bills next week, you don't get much bigger than that.
Sure. And the other thing is, he's going to have an opportunity. I mean, barring an injury, right? Barring him getting hurt. And by the way, that was the biggest knock on him. And here we are. We're approaching week 18, and he suffered a shoulder injury on that slide. But by all accounts, it's not a big thing. At least, knock on wood, that sounds like it's not a major issue. So he's going to be there for that week 18 game. So he's going to have an opportunity, right? To prove it. And if you are an eternal optimist about this team, this Dolphins team will eventually have to play a road game, theoretically. I guess it's also possible that they won't, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah, your point is taken about Tua, and again, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that as we head into this, to through the final at least week of the regular season, and then into the playoffs and beyond. We'll have opportunities to talk about that. But I think if there are people out there saying that Tua doesn't deserve to be paid, I don't know what to tell you, because he does. Where the debate is how much he deserves to be paid and all of that. And that's a conversation for down the line. But here's where things stand now for the Dolphins because of this game, right? Here's what we know. And we'll get into this more in our Bills preview show later this week. But we know that the Dolphins now, in spite of everything, have the winner-take-all 17th game of the season at home Sunday night in primetime against the Buffalo Bills. And if you win that game, you are the AFC East champion and guaranteed a home game. And if you win that first home playoff game, you're guaranteed a second home playoff game. Beyond that, there actually exists a possibility that if the Baltimore Ravens should lose at home in the divisional game, there is a possibility that you could end up hosting the AFC Championship game. But in order to do that, you first have to win this game on Sunday against Buffalo. There are all kinds of possibilities that exist for who the Dolphins would play if they win that game. But bottom line is, there is nothing that changes the Dolphins' future in terms of what they are going to be doing. Win on Sunday, you win the division. Lose on Sunday, there is a 99% chance you're going to Kansas City as a wild card team. And I think that's a situation that nobody is going to be super happy about. Ironically, Brain, I think at the beginning of this season, both of us predicted the Dolphins to end up at 11-6. And they're staring that in the face here. I think both of us predicted 11-6 and not winning the division. And they're staring it in the face.
I predicted them to win the division.
Oh, well. But anyway, hopefully that is not what ends up happening, but that's where we are. Anything else you want to say about this game, Brand? Because I know it's kind of a down in the dumps kind of place to be, and I can't blame anybody for being there. I think it's especially good to stew in it for a little while, and then later this week we can turn the page and really start to look ahead to the next game and how you might be able to get past the injuries that you're dealing with. I don't know that we've heard anything about the X injury yet. I imagine we'll probably find something out later today as to the severity of that injury. But I'll say the fact that he went off on a cart with no shoe on does not bode well. So, Brain, anything else you want to say post-Ravens game?
All I want to say is, granted, this was a real kicking the balls as a Dolphins fan. And I, like I said, I'm resigned to the fact that I don't believe this is a legitimate Super Bowl contending team. I do think there are legitimate goals that this team can accomplish. And I think it starts this week at Buffalo. And you have a chance to really salvage this season by winning that game and then going from there. I think that if they're going to do it, I think it's going to, like, obviously the entire team's going to have to step up, but I do think it starts with Tua. I think Tua's going to hear a lot of hate. A lot of it is unfair and unwarranted. But at the end of the day, that's the nature of the quarterback position in the NFL. You're going to get a lot more credit. Like you said, I think you were reading a tweet from Ryan Smith. We were talking about it before we recorded.
Yeah.
You know, about the quarterback or about Tua getting a little bit too much credit on the Dolphins' wins and too much of the blame on the Dolphins' losses. And I think that's true of just about every quarterback in the league. I think that's the nature of the quarterback position. But the fact is, he needs to bounce back. And one thing that he's done this year, and the team in general has done this year, which has been a marked improvement from years past, is that they have bounced back. They have not lost back-to-back games all season. And so what they've got is, and I'm sure this is what we'll see on Hard Knocks, is we'll see Mike McDaniel turning this into, you've got another opportunity to you know, make this the most, you know, the best day of our lives, you know, the best thing that ever happened to us by learning from this and making it so. And you could take what you want out of that, but at its core, it's true. The Dolphins have an opportunity right now to come up with a big game, one big game to beat Buffalo at home. That's where the focus should be. And where I'm at with this team now that I've resigned myself from Super Bowl expectations, is I'm really just going to sit back and I'm going to try to enjoy it as much as possible. And I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm not going to be super stressed because the expectations are out the window. So let's just see what this team can do. And I think, look, I'm not going to tell you how to fan how you want to fan. But from what this team has shown right now, I think that's probably the best advice that I can give anybody. And maybe that's the best way to do it, honestly, from the jump, is it doesn't really matter. It's just to not ever have expectations and just enjoy it. I don't think that I could ever do that, but for this small section of the season that's left, that's where I'm at.
Absolutely. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks to everybody who's watching live, even all of the haters and trolls. We've got some fans of other teams in the comments trying to rile people up. I appreciate the passion. We appreciate the fry. There was a Packers fan in here at one point, like firing off praises for Jordan Love, which, I mean, good on you, man. I mean, good on you, I guess. You know, we're just glad to have everybody watching. Thank you for being part of the community. We appreciate you. If you could take a moment, smash that like button if you haven't done so. If you've made it this far in the show, we appreciate it. Everybody listening in podcast form, thank you very much. We hope that 2024 is a wonderful year for you and for yours. I personally wish everybody health and happiness, regardless of what team you root for. And again, as I always do, I think the most important thing is to be kind to one another. So do that. No matter who you cheer for, no matter how you go about your day, ultimately, what's most important is that you're kind to one another. And if we can all be kind to one another, then 2024 is going to be a good year for everyone. So that's what I hope. We will be back later this week to preview the Dolphins' crucial Week 18 matchup with the Buffalo Bills, where the AFC East Championship will be on the line. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.